everyone, and welcome to Dimes with Dara on the Joy Slot Podcast, brought to you by irissportsdaily.com. I am Greg Flamong, and as always, that is Dara Mabry. We're going to be talking about Notre Dame's up and down weekend again. Every time we have to do a show on the Thursday game, it's like, how are they ever going to win again? It's just always with this, with the loss to Syracuse, and then you beat UConn. And then this last week, you lose to Louisville. You go to Louisville, you lose to them. Don't look good. Hannah played a good game, right? She's 12-25, scored 30 points. She played a very good game. Sonia and Maddie combined to go 7 of 23, 2 of 10 from 3-point line. It's not gonna work, right? You lose the game. Not really in the game, right? They're always kind of behind the eight ball in that one. Then you go to Florida State and win the game of the year, right? And it's an Anna DeWolf legacy game where she scores 24 points, 9 of 18 shooting, 6 of 9 from three-point land. Huge three-pointer late to was it to send the game to overtime or was it to extend or to tie it in overtime? I can't remember when that was. But she had a huge three.
Yeah. Under a minute left. She hit it with, I think, actually just over a minute left to go into the first overtime.
To go into the – because she tied the game at 88, I believe, yeah. Is what it was. Yeah. So huge by her. We're going to get into all that. And so we're going to talk about that, this team, and how they just – they make us sweat, especially on last week against Florida State. But it was an entertaining game, at least. So that was very fun. We're going to talk about all that today. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If this is your first time catching our show, please subscribe to the show. Please subscribe to the channel. Please hit the like button. Please hit the notification bell so whenever it is we are releasing a video. Just as a reminder, we recorded two shows last week, with one with Sonia Citron, current guard on the Notre Dame basketball team. People very interested in that show. Got a lot of great feedback, so check that out. We also did a show with Marina Mabry, Dara's sister, talking about growing up in a basketball family, playing overseas, playing in the WNBA, winning a national championship in Notre Dame. So check out those shows, Dara. When you're sweating out these games, what you want to do is you want to have a comfortable fit, and you can have a comfortable fit if you go to one of our sponsors here, which is ESQ Clothing, which is founded by Notre Dame alum Ga Wang. You've seen ESQ on all your favorite Notre Dame players and coaches with over a decade of making the best custom clothing available. ESQ will help you look and feel your best in 2024, from a perfect fitting suit or sport coat, shirt, or bomber jacket, or a perfect tuxedo for wedding season. Check out Ga's amazing work at esqclothing.com. Book an appointment to upgrade your wardrobe today. Mention ISD and get 10% off your entire purchase. It's 10% off your entire purchase if you mention ISD. Dara, where do you want to start? We can start with Louisville if you want. Not a great game, ugly game, right? It just didn't have it, right? And it just seems like at that point, when you know Sonia and Maddie are going to have off games like that, it's just going to be really hard for this team to win basketball games.
Really tough. Louisville's not an easy place to play. I would say probably the hardest place to play in the ACC.
What makes it hard? Why do you say that?
It's loud as hell in there, and their bench is enthusiastic. Coach Walsh is very enthusiastic, passionate. Every possession, they're going to give you their all. They try to make it an ugly game. They try to speed you up. So when you combine Louisville's schemes defensively and offensively with the crowd, and you're away. So, like, be real, you're probably not going to get as many calls as you want. You combine those three things, and it's a pretty tough task at hand, especially when you have a couple people on the team that have never played there before. Rough one. And when Sonia and Maddie don't perform, it's going to be hard to win against anybody when those two don't perform. And I think that game was evident that you need other people to step up. And then that's why I was so happy with the team, because they all responded on Sunday against Florida State in a tough atmosphere.
Yeah, so having to step up. So we talked about Maddie and Sony. They go 7 of 23 in the game. Didn't have it offensively, right? And I think Sony, I thought that game, I was thinking to myself, like, I need you to be a little bit more aggressive. Like, you got to get the ball going to the basket, right? Like,
yeah,
because you're not getting it for anywhere else. And for whatever reason, the shots weren't falling. They started the game really slow. I mean, just lots of turnovers, right? I think they started 0-7, 0-8, something like that. Yeah, it's just, and like, to me, it's like, Sony, get to the basket. You got to create points in other kind of ways. Shots not falling,
right? But
in terms of getting contributions from other players, Anna DeWolf goes 0-3 in the game, right? 0-2 from the 3-point line. She did make 2 free throws, and then Kylie again, 2-3, right? So you're talking about 2-for-6 from Kylie, who plays 35 minutes. Anna plays 29 minutes. It's like, even if Sonya and Maddie play well, that's going to be very difficult if you're not getting contributions like that from two of your starters. They're only going 7 deep as it is, right? And it's not like KK and Nat are coming in and providing like that scoring punch, you know,
right.
six player off the bench or anything like that. So it's like, that makes it very difficult. And that's when you start to think, man, like, where can this team go? You know, like, how far can they go when it just puts so much pressure on Sonya and Maddie in that game? What did you see from Maddie against Louisville there? You know, only 3 of 11 for her, 1 of 5 from three. How do you think she can kind of avoid games like that? Because she obviously bounced back against Florida State. We'll get to that in a second. But how can she avoid games like that going forward?
They matched up well with us, I thought. So they didn't have post players on Maddie that couldn't move on the arc. And then when they were inside with her, they were still physical, you know, and they were up in here, like breathing underneath her neck. I think that Maddie needs to be set up better. So like, trying to go downhill against them is not going to work. And then trying to do counter moves, it's like Louisville's defense is suffocating, for lack of better words. Like, they're swarming you. They're coming after you. Their guards are going to slap at the ball. I think Maddie needs to be put in some better positions, maybe coming off pin downs, like, and getting options outside of the high post, I think would have been better for her in that matchup. So maybe having her run off for a three or working around like a pin down and making those other bigger guards chase her. Because at the end of the day, Maddie has really good endurance. She's in great shape.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if they had her move a little bit more, coming off of some things, running instead of like post ISO and that kind of thing, that would have worked. But then at the same time, like, Louisville guarded our pick and roll pretty well with her and Hannah, which has been our bread and butter because it's been unstoppable against certain teams. But they scouted it well, they defended it well, and I think because of that, they didn't have to switch as often. Their guards were pretty good at getting through the ball screen, and then they also saw some trapping being pretty aggressive. So I think that hurt her in that game specifically.
And it's also, it's very helpful for the defense when she's not hitting that outside shot. Right?
Yeah, because then they can just sag a little bit, and then it makes Hannah's life hell.
Right, like, she has to be hitting it. And then that's why she's a great player the way she is, and why she's such a good weapon, because, like, she can just roll. And
exactly.
If you stag, she'll hit you, and she'll hit the shot. As we saw against Florida State, right? So against Florida State, Sonya and Hannah combined to go 14 for 46, right? You feel like you go on the road against in the ACC, those two players shoot that way, that's a loss, you know? Like, you're just losing. I don't care who it is. If you're playing against any good team, you're losing that game.
Right.
On the flip side, you know, Anna, again, 9 of 18, 6 of 9 from three, 24 points. You feel like if she plays like that against any team, you're probably going to win, right? So it kind of came through when it needed to. Maddie had a huge game in that one. It was 8 of 17, 19 points, 14 rebounds, right? She was a monster inside. I want you to tell me specifically about Anna and what you saw from her and what was so different. We have not seen a game like that from her in a very, very long time. I was telling you, I was kind of texting you some stats on her. In the 5 of the last 8 games, she's only made 2 or less shots, right? She's not offensively, not an offensive weapon for Notre Dame like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, this game was much different. What did you see from her in this game that gives you confidence? Like, hey, this could happen again, because it seemed to me that these are all the shots that she can be getting, right? She wasn't hitting anything that was like, you know, fallaways or extremely difficult shots. She was hitting the shots that were there. What did you see from her in this game that was different from the other games?
I think this was the first time in a while that I've actually seen her want the basketball, you know? And it's really easy to be able to tell that she just has like a different demeanor, a different persona. Like, she was running down alongside Hannah like this, ready to catch and shoot and like calling for the ball. Like, I have seen that out of her. And it made the biggest difference in the world. Like, I remember one time she yelled like one more, and I was like, that's what you need to do. You need to do that every time. And she, when you have a confidence like that, and when you're aggressively hunting shots, like, the ball is naturally going to find you again. It's a hard thing to explain, but like, you just then start playing with that flow. Like, I saw her drive it and try, like, she didn't get it off, but like, she tried to take a little fadeaway, and I was like, that's the aggression that you need. Like, whether you missed it or airballed it, like, you need to go attempt and be aggressive. And I think once she saw the first one go down early, it's like, you can't wait. You're an upperclassman, you're a starter, you're going to play a ton of minutes. You need to be aggressive early. You can't wait like to turn it on and when like not to turn it on. And I think everything that we've been talking about this whole year on this podcast is contributions from other people and how it affects the game. And you said 14 for 46 or 47, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And they don't win that game if Anna doesn't shoot like that. And it's the
They're not even in the game.
No, it's a prime example of everything that we've been talking about. Like, look how far that took them in one of the toughest and like situational, like end of game kind of thing, like that I've seen so far this year. Like, double overtime away at Florida State. Like, that's tough. That's really tough to win. And the way she contributed was, I mean, she was the X factor. She was the reason why they won that game.
Yeah, I mean, legacy game, right, for her. And it was great because, it, like you said, opens up things for so many other players. Like, there were a couple times where they're sitting in zone, you know, and I think it was Maddie who got the ball fake at Anna, and she had hit a couple threes at this point. So you had a player run out to her. Right. Cause it's like, shoot, she's been burning us. So I got to get out there. Ball fake from Maddie on Hannah. Player leaves Maddie wide open. Maddie hits the shot. Right. And it's like, that's the kind of thing that can open up. Right. They come off another one where they were playing 2-3. Hannah had the ball on like the left elbow. I can't remember who was setting the screen. It was probably Maddie, actually. So Maddie sets the screen on the left elbow. She screens the one player. Hannah goes towards the middle. Someone's sagging on Sony.
Yeah.
Someone's sagging on Sony because it's like, obviously you can't leave her open. And then you have the player on the other block who is like, I gotta be watching on Anna because she's burning us too. Hannah gets the floater. She gets in the middle of the lane, which is always what you want to do against zone, right? That's how you break down zone. Gets the floater in the lane and one. And it's like, that's where it opens up things for all sorts of other players. And then, so you watch a game like this and you think like, okay, like this is where it happens for them, right? Like, this is how it can look. And like I said, the good thing about what we saw from Anna is like, this is stuff that they can get all the time from her, right? Just hitting those open shots. Like you said, seeking out those opportunities, right? And that's the difference in being aggressive. I did want to talk to you about shooting. And I talked to you before we started recording. I was going to ask you about this is when you're in a slump, and you can't find it, right? How do you go about trying to find it again? Like, what do you do specifically? I'm just talking about you, not another player, but like, what do you do? Like, is it one of those things like, hey, I'm just going to keep my same routine and I'm going to do what I've been doing. I'm going to practice the way that I've been practicing because it's going to come back. Or do you like, I need to get more shots up. Like, how do you respond to that?
I was in a slump my last year at Notre Dame, right before I got hurt. I got hurt, so I didn't like really come out of it. I was doing better. But I like will never forget that period of time because you're so attached to a percentage, to making the basket,
yeah,
to attempting the basket. And when you're in a slump like that, like, it's really, really hard to do, but like, it's a mind game and you have to completely detach from it. It's very emotional. You feel like the one thing, like I always felt like during my really hard times, the one thing that I'm so good at, I'm not good at right now.
Yeah.
And I had to find other ways to make things happen, which essentially made me better. And my minutes didn't go down for a reason. Like, Niel left me out there because of all the other things that I did, which then would propel me to maybe not even make the next one, but still like have the guts to take the next one. So I always tell people, like, the only way you can come out of a shooting slump is if you keep taking them, because how are you gonna make them if you don't take them? If that makes sense, like, you almost have to shoot your way out of it. It's going to happen. It has to correct itself. Like, if I was still playing that year, at some point I was going to come out of it. But you couldn't tell on the court, but like, I almost like at one point started to lose joy because I was like, when am I ever going to make a shot? I'd never show that like at all, because that's one of the most selfish things that you could do. Like, I was playing for way more than a shooting percentage, but like, people didn't know, like, in the back of my mind, I was really struggling to shoot the ball. And it's not something that leaves your mind. Like, as a shooter, a really good shooter, you think about it all the time. So I started doing things like shooting with my eyes closed. And I was in the gym every day before and after practice. And at some point I was like, it's not my work ethic. It's not my repetition. It's not my footwork. It's not my hands. It's literally all up here. So like, I would say when you're in a shooting slump, like, the best thing you can do is like mentally detach from it and understand that that shooting percentage doesn't define you as a player. You still have to do everything else when you go on the court.
Was it like, was it a feel thing? Like, was it a technique thing that you kind of had there? Like, did you watch film? It's like, am I doing something different with my elbow, my release point, or whatever it might be?
Yeah, like, it was unbelievable because I would watch film with Sherelle Allen. She was my position coach my last year. Mm-hmm. And she would watch film with me and be like, the technique is there. Like, I didn't bother trying to wrap my head around the disconnect because some of them would feel so good. Like, I remember the Clemson game. I went, I think, 1 for 10 from the 3-point line. Mm-hmm. And everyone except for maybe one of them that I let go felt so good. And I would come out of the game and I'd be like, it feels good. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, and when you freak out and attach to the reason, like, why you're missing, you can dig yourself in the deepest, ugliest hole ever. And that's like one thing I will never do again.
Yeah. Like, I'm asking just in relation to Anna, because this was so out of nowhere.
Yeah. You know?
I feel like she just hasn't had the, and like, I think the difference for you, it's like, she's never gone 1 for 10 in a game because she's not taking 10 shots.
That goes to your point is like, personally me, I don't look at her and see shooting slump. I see you don't take them enough. So then when you get them, you're not as confident as you should be. It's not like you busted your ass the possession before, you took one and jacked it up in transition, it was a good shot but you missed it, okay, screw it. That's way different than it being 7.5 minutes into a quarter, you haven't touched the ball, and then you try to shoot a corner three.
Yeah like, it just seemed like you made a good point too. It's like the confidence of calling for it, right, and getting in position. Like, the three that tied the game at 88, like, she's standing there, right, and she's moving around like trying to get in position. So, like, you can see me catch and fire, like, straight away, you know, like, no hesitation there, right? Not like looking to swing it, not looking to put the ball on the ground and like try to be a playmaker. Like, no, I'm gonna get this ball and it's going up and it's not gonna hit the rim, you know, and it didn't, right? And so, like, to me, I wonder if this is, you know, and you always wonder, right? Like, is this the springboard to something where it's like, look, she's not going to go 6-9 every game, right? She's not going to go, she's not going to score 24 points every game, but just like that kind of, and when we talked about a couple shows ago, it's like, can you shoot 50%? Like 3-6, right? 2-5, right? Like, can that be just be like a regular thing that comes up for Notre Dame? Like anything from like 10 to 14 points, just on kind of the regular, would be such a big boost to this team, and it would make a big difference, right? Like, Sony's not going to shoot the ball that poorly very often, you know?
No.
And Hannah's not going to shoot the ball that poorly very often.
I think that goes across the board too. Yeah. Like, we're talking specifically about Anna, but what if we could get 12? What if we could get 12-8 from Kylie? What if we could get 10-6 from KK? It's the biggest difference in the world.
Yeah. And so it just kind of raises the ceiling of like what this team can be and how far they can go. The ceiling obviously is pretty high when you have a player like Hannah. I was watching some the game back, the Florida State game. And like, you talk about, you know, not shooting the ball well, but she as a playmaker, I feel like she's really coming into her own. I mean, she is so good to on the break of like drawing defenders and waiting to kind of make the move once the defender commits. You know, like there was one, she's on a fast break and she's going down the middle of the court. She's got Anna on her left and she's pounding the ball. She's pounding the ball. The player from the wing, it's like she could pass it. Like Anna's open, right? Yeah. She could give her the ball. But like if you give her the ball, then that girl's going to close. She's not going to have an open shot. So she continues to press. And then the girl commits, right? Because now she's getting into the lane. So the girl's got to come down on her one-handed, like no chest pass, just flings it over the right hand, hits Anna on the run, and she bangs the three. I'm like, man, that is like so good. Like she is just like running the break and knows exactly what she wants to have happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so her floor game is really unbelievable. I believe she had 8 assists in that game as well. Playing not 9 assists, excuse me, with 5 steals, playing 44 minutes. I mean, it's just like, again, she set the ACC record for rookie of the week. She's got 11 now. And like I tweeted out, kudos to the ACC for continuing to give her the award that she deserves. Because, you know, sometimes you don't do that, right? But what have you seen from Hannah just from a playmaking standpoint that's really kind of like standing out to you?
I think that she has found her teammates better in the half court. Mm. I still think that she needs to progress and grow and transition. At the same time, she is a scoring point guard. Like she has a scorer's mentality. So her first thought is going to the basket, which obviously is just going to come along with experience. Like she's still a freshman, but I think specifically in transition, I think she just needs to see the floor a little bit better and understand more that like people are now scouting you for the attempt, not the pass, you know, which essentially makes the passing easier, but you have to know that first, you know, like they're going to collapse when she drives, they're going to collapse and shift towards one side of the court when she's coming down off the ball, off the drag screen and transition and whatnot. So I think that the assists, like the stat line says different. I think that she does need to be able to find her teammates a little bit more in terms of distribution. That one at the end of the game, the last shot, two girls followed her and Maddie was wide open at the 3-point line.
Yeah.
But again, like lesson learned, like she'll probably look at that on film and like, that's one thing that you're like, oh, okay. Like I totally saw that one. Like maybe she'll never make that specific mistake again, you know, but it has to happen in order for you to learn. So like I'm saying these things that she can get better at, but it's like at the same time, you can't forget about everything that she's doing, like as a freshman. Like what I'm trying to say is that obviously there's these little things are there because she's young still. But if you look at what she does, she's just so reliable. Like she's a generational player. You always know what you're gonna get. I'm pretty confident at this point can say like she's unstoppable. There hasn't been anybody that has completely shut her down, taken her out of the game. Even on her off nights, like she's still performing. She's still getting steals. She's doing everything that she can. I just think that the learning curve is going to be distribution and controlling your emotions.
Yeah. I mean, like you say, off night, right? 7 of 25 against Florida State. Not great shooting. 13 of 14 from the line, right? Like still producing, like getting to the line, making your free throws. You know, it's a big deal too, right? So, and then, you know, a couple rough shooting games from Sonya, but, you know, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. And so still finding ways to contribute, right? And, and still, you know, a big in that game. I want to point out KK, right? Contributed 8 points and 5 boards, right? So that's what you need. That's a winning contribution from her in that game. So it's a huge, huge road win for Notre Dame. This Thursday coming up, they've got who was it again?
NC State Thursday.
NC State Thursday. Duke on Big Monday. Big stretch for Notre Dame coming up. You've got NC State at home on Thursday, third in the ACC, and then you've got Duke on the road on Big Monday. Notre Dame sits fifth, 2 games in the loss column behind the leaders Virginia Tech, who they end the ACC with coming up. So it's a big stretch, right? And like if Florida State is a harbinger of what can come here, especially when you're getting contributions from KK, you're getting contributions from Anna DeWolf, like if that sort of thing continue, then it changes the calculus of what you think this team can be, right? Like you see them lose the game against Louisville and you think it's just this team, they just don't have it this year, right? It's not enough supporting cast. You see a game against Florida State and you think completely the opposite, right? So like where are you at mentally with this team and what they can be?
I think if you look at the stretch overall, I'm not surprised at one loss in it. I think it would have been huge if they won Louisville, Florida State, NC State, Duke, and Virginia Tech. But if you want to give up that first one to Louisville, like I'm not okay with that at all, but I am okay with that. And just in terms of maturity, roles, growth, etc., in that kind of area.
Yeah.
That big of a stretch in the ACC, I'll take that one loss as long as they handle business the rest of the way, which they showed that they can do. They won in the hardest environment in a double overtime situation away on the road.
Yeah.
With an early start, 12 p.m. tip on a Sunday. So that's pretty promising to me. That win was really big, and all of them showed a lot of growth because at the end, all 5 players on the floor did something. Sonya made the free throws. Hannah is Hannah. Kylie got the tip. AD with 24 points. Cookie with that offensive KK. Sorry, that's her nickname. KK with a big O board and a putback late in the fourth. When they have all 5 people contributing, they're promising. But like I said, you're going to fall to somebody if you have 2 stars that don't perform or don't show up, which is the beauty and the struggle of having a 7-person roster, essentially. Yeah. So I think that that's promising. And I think coming up, all of these are very winnable games. If you play to play, you have to show up and play. You have to understand that's not going to be easy. All of those games are going to be equally as hard as Florida State and Louisville. So I think that if you can keep getting contributions from other people, I'm not saying all 5 have to be in double figures because that's not realistic just from what we've seen from this team this year. So if you can get just contributions here and there from other people, I think that they'll be good. With that being said, the big 3 still have to perform in Hannah, Maddie, and Sonya.
Because, okay, like you say, winnable games. None of these teams are, like, clearly better than Notre Dame.
No.
So, and not just that, like, you could make the case that Notre Dame, at their best selves, are better than all of them, right? So you could make that case. So, but my point is, and, like, you made the point. It's, like, you can't ask, like, Anna and Kylie and KK and Nat, you can't say, well, like, you guys, like, the contributions, like, we need contributions from you guys. Like, hey, the big 3 is the big 3.
It's also the middle of February. It is what, like, the team is what it is at this point, you know?
Yeah, like, it's time right now. Yeah. Like, and you get, like, it is, like, you can't, it's kind of tough, right, to be like, you know, to Sony and Maddie, and because they've shouldered so much of the load, same with Hannah as well,
right?
It's like, but like, your role is your role, right? You have to be accountable. Like, we talk about accountability all the time. You got to play great as well. Like, that's the team needs that. The team is counting on you for that. So it's like, yeah, it's time to be your best self.
Spot on.
Right? Like you said, February, it's no longer like we're building towards stuff. Hey, it's time to be your best self night in and night out. Like, if you told me, hey, Notre Dame's going to go and they have the ability to sweep the rest of the regular season, absolutely. Like, I'm totally in on that, right? But it's like the inconsistency has been there enough to where it's like, if it doesn't happen, you can't be surprised by that.
Right.
You know? So let's see it. Let's see your best self, you know? And I think that's, it's February, that time of year, closing out the ACC, heading into the ACC tournament and then the NCAA tournament. If you want to be something in 2024, now is the time to do it. Right. And I think if everyone just kind of plays to their potential, Notre Dame's got something here. So that's what we're looking forward to. Thursday against NC State, and then Big Monday against Duke. So we're going to be following that. We'll be back after that to talk about those games and everything in between all the news. So you want to stay tuned to us, hit the like, hit subscribe, hit the notification bell. We'll be back next week to talk about the results of this week's games. What do we always say, Daryl?
Keep getting them buckets.
Talk to you soon.